Want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily, then distribute it everywhere and even earn money. We like that. All in one place for totally free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. And here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your cellular telephone or your computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else, those other places that podcasts are heard.
Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. And when you want to take conversations with your fans to the next level, Q&As and polls are the best way to get them talking. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free. Zero catch. We've been using it ever since we started How Long Gone. And ever since I discovered Spotify for Podcasters, I feel like having the option of turning off the Q&As and the polls on the user dashboard has really helped boost my creativity and take it to another level. I highly recommend giving it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.
Tizo, TJ, how are we feeling today, big dog?
Tizo, TJ. TJ's feeling bad. TJ's feeling bad.
But let's clear it up with our fans. The COVID thing was a joke. You don't have COVID.
I don't have COVID. No. The last episode, I was getting over, we recorded that on what, Sunday?
A chest cold.
Sinus thing.
It's actually crazy. It's actually crazy that a chest as small as yours can even be infected. I would have maybe addressed that with your doctor.
Maybe
as well.
If I worked on my bench and my curls, I would be less susceptible to mucus buildup.
I mean, look, bro. It's something. I mean, we're willing to try anything at this point, aren't we? I mean, you know, you get to your wit's end.
Ever since I was a little kid, I always would get ear infections.
Mm-hmm. You're sickly. You're sickly because you're so big.
Yeah, and some some ladies in this world just want to take care of me. You know, I could fix him.
You're right. Your mom is really nice. I agree. She's a really sweet lady, and she raised you boys well.
She got my tonsils pulled out when I was a wee lad.
That's true.
I got mono. I got chicken. All that shit.
Damn, sickly TJ is real. I was just kidding, but now as we reveal your medical history, it's sounding worse and worse. Are you sure? Are you good, Chief?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Well, like I was saying all that because I've had this same like sinus infection, whatever thing. A billion times before, and I know how to take care of it, and I took care of it and it worked and I was fine. And then I was like, yesterday I was like, oh, I'm feeling good, I got my sleep, I'm gonna go hit the gym. And then I ate a salad from a restaurant last night that I will not say because I could bring businesses down with one sentence.
Yeah, we wouldn't want you to be. I don't know if you saw this, Lily Allen on her stories said a pizza place was shit on her story.
I did not see that.
And literally had to like defend herself because people are like, you're putting that. She's like, I don't care. It was bad pizza. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, they gave me bad shit and I'm going to talk about it. That's just how the world works.
That is how the world works. But luckily for Lily, she's not a member of the LA food influencer community.
That's true.
I can't have that blood on my hands the way she seems to be totally fine with it. You know, I realized that a lot of people have told me like eating salad is like the thing that you get. Food poisoning
it's the lettuce.
It's the gastrointestinitis, right? Or whatever. So yeah, I ate a salad. You know, it didn't taste that good anyway. And I was like, whatever. I woke up at like 3 a.m. just barfing. Mm. And then I've just been kind of barfing ever since then. But I feel okay now. I just ate a banana.
I want you to get some potassium. And I actually barfed a little bit too right before we got on this
this great segue
podcast because I saw that Billie Eilish has her own Air Jordan coming out that's both vegan and sustainable.
Oh, no.
And I the only thing I could do was hurl.
I could only hurl. So there's two silhouettes. There's the one that's cool and the one that's bad, right? There's like a neon green, kind of like...
Yeah, that's how these corporations make everybody do a shoe collaboration. Like, we'll give you the one you want, but you got to take a shot at this garbage we got sitting in the archives as well.
Maybe.
Billie is no different than the rest.
Well, I think she might be because there's the two. Well, I think one of them appeared to just be like a regular kind of uptown
mm-hmm.
situation. I could be wrong, and that's I feel like that's maybe like the safe bet for doing a Jordan collab.
Did you already text Phineas to get the 17s in both?
Finn knows. I put out the Finn signal. I think he's just like in the studio right now or whatever. Like he usually gets back to me pretty quickly.
Yeah, he has bad reception in the studio. I know that.
It's yeah, it's I got bad reception in the treehouse. You know how it is. Like we don't like devices. But then the other one is like the real busted ass Jordan one that only like Edgar's wear.
We call it a team Jordan.
But I think that one is super sick. And it's kind of a muted of gray tone. You know, because with a Jordan,
kinda
all
like your
Jordan
skin right now.
all Jordans are uncool, no matter what Jordan
no,
it is.
No, deeply, deeply
that's
uncool,
just what it is. But uncool. So that's why you pick out the ugliest, stinkiest, nastiest, dumbest looking ones, because at least it's funny.
Do you think she chose the shoe based on what would look good with baggy shorts? Like, do you think that was the number one criteria for picking the silhouette?
Chris, you clearly didn't listen to her new album where she has a heartfelt song about this very subject matter, Chris. Have you heard this song?
No. Is it about... You're saying she has a Dickie Shorts takedown?
No, it's actually deeper than that, Chris.
Oh, damn. I love when stuff gets deep. Tell me more.
I don't know if you're ready to go this deep, but it's about like... You know, the way that people feel the need to comment on like her body, the way it looks, the way it's shaped, the clothes that she wears.
I'm not commenting on her body or her shape. I'm commenting on her love for shorts. And I think certain Jordans look better with big shorts than others. I mean, put me in jail if that's the problem.
Some J's are better than others.
I had to listen to, yeah, I mean, yeah, some J's are better than others. I mean, between this and the dusty ass Fugees reunion, it's been a tough morning for me.
Yeah, the Fugees reunion.
Who needs money? All of them?
No. I know Wyclef and Prod, like they've been scamming for years. Wyclef has money and then didn't
Prod. Yeah, Wyclef should be good.
I think Prod's like, he did some real gnarly shit. I forgot what it was though. Like, I don't know. He either did like really good stuff or really bad stuff. Like he either like did like some type of fraud for like fundraising activities, or he actually did do like really good fundraising, and it's just been too long.
you just can't remember which one. I can't remember if he's a criminal or if he gave money to charity. It's one or the other, but I just can't really put my finger on it.
And that's bad. That's bad. And I blame the internet and social media for that. The news cycle.
Of course.
It's a shame. It's a shame because you know, you listen to those old Lauryn Hill songs. She's got honey in her voice. She's so
do you
talented,
think though,
and she's
do you think though
so that, troubled, you know?
Do you think a single one of these shows will actually happen? It's a 12-city tour. It's starting tomorrow in New York in a secret location. Do you think a single show will happen where all three of them...
It starts tomorrow.
Yeah, do you think all three of them will be on time and perform for one full show out of 12, or do you think that's impossible?
Like, if their tax attorneys are there and present, I think they might be able to get them on stage.
Yeah, it's like the head of the IRS introduces them.
The head. What do you do, sir? I'm the head of the IRS.
Yeah, but that's a real thing. I mean,
it is a real thing. Somebody has to run that beautiful organization. Love those guys.
I guess it really. I guess it really starts Chicago on November 2nd. Chicago, by the way, the How Long Gone show in Chicago at Shuba's is sold out.
Ooh,
so
suck on that, Praz. Suck on that, Wyclef.
Yeah, Wyclef. Yeah, you'll be gone till November, is what I heard. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But yeah, so it's kicking out. But I think they're doing like a surprise show in New York tomorrow to kind of, you know, grease the wheels, a warm up, a dress rehearsal.
Knock
if you
the
will.
Cobwebs out. So this is the file for extension. 2021 tour, is that what this is called?
yeah, exactly. Can we work out a payment plan 2021?
There's nothing wrong with the payment plan, just you want to make sure you get ahead of it and stay on it.
I agree, I hate the IRS and I love to pay them on time, quarterly and also monthly. You know, that's how I just pay the IRS every day. You know, I just, it's like, you know how your bank will just round up, you know, and give the money to charity. I actually do the roundup, but it all just goes to the IRS. I just don't even want to. I prefer it that way. You know what I mean?
It's worth it for all these good roads that we got here in Cali.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that sick ass healthcare.
Unfortunately, have to go to the BMW dealership to take my car in for a little checkup because there's so many lights on after I left it for a month. Shit looks like a damn Christmas tree on the dashboard.
I'm pretty sure your car had the check engine light the day you drove it off the lot.
It's crazy,
but I was like, it's not my car. What am I going to do?
I mean, I don't care about any of this, but it's saying the tire, like I put air in the tires and then it said you can't go over 80. There's no air in the tires.
Oh,
I'm like, all right.
Your whole sensors is tweaking. Is that what you're saying?
My sensors are tweaking. It seems like, so I have to go to the Beverly Hills BMW dealership for a quick
checkup. Happens when you buy these Nazi sleds. There's always something wrong with them. Get a nice Kia. Get a nice Ford.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
No, wouldn't
when
be
I get the no next car I'm getting is a 2024 Suburban, full size blacked out American Muscle.
Okay.
Or maybe a Tahoe.
Suburban, maybe Tahoe, maybe Yukon.
Which one can I mount a gun on the easiest, do you think?
Gun. I mean, depending on what caliber, I wouldn't sleep on the. The Navigator. The Navigator has some good mounts on it.
Oh, I forgot about the Navigator. I think the Navigator. I think Fat Joe's actually selling one on Facebook Marketplace.
It already has the 50 cal mounts on it. It's ready to go. Like you drive it off the lot, and you need to literally do nothing to it. It's like so sick.
I'm just so sick of running errands. All I want to do is work, you know. And it's just there's always an errand to run, Jason. It's car ownership is the pits, bro.
It's tough, man. I'm sorry. These are the problems that you got when you trade in your Metro card for the key fob.
It's true. And it's push to start.
Chris, we need to just quit all this messing around. Quit playing games and get a Tesla already, for Christ's sake.
I'll probably get a Tesla next time unless I want a real car. But I can't decide. I mean, you know, I have no problem supporting.
You already have a life partner, so it doesn't matter if women think you're a pussy.
I don't think it makes you look like a pussy. I just think it's like a lot. I don't want to plug it in. I don't know. It seems like I got to buy some extra stuff to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That part is an issue when you, you know, depending on where you live and at. Every day there's a new place that has a new mount already built into it, though, you know. So by the time your lease runs out, maybe it won't be so hard, Chris. And I'm sure there's lots of great supercharging stations over there on Hollywood Boulevard where you live. Nasty ass Hollywood.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, I told you, when I pop into Sephora, they usually keep it up front for me at that Sephora. But
and the guy in the Joker costume comes and plugs it in for you. Yeah. And then Michael Jackson moonwalks your fucking windshield clean.
Michael Jackson actually checks me out at the Marshalls right there when I'm getting socks. So it's a win-win for everybody, really, if you think about it.
So a small business ecosystem, fool.
I love supporting small businesses if they're on a two-block radius of Hollywood Boulevard.
What Muji store you work at, fool?
I did suffer through. I had to listen to the Brilliant Idiots podcast, and they were talking about the Met Gala. Mm. And it was truly insane to listen to those two idiots talk about clothes. Like the two worst-dressed guys on Earth talking about clothes and how celebrities are so stupid for going to that.
Was it cool, at least? Was it like art?
No, of course it's not cool. No, of course not.
Was it so bad that it was good, or was it just pure bad?
They were both boasting about how if they got invited, they would just turn it down.
Oh,
and
shit.
I was like,
that's fucking swag.
First of all, bro, they're not bringing YouTube comedians to the Met Gala. Like, that's like, you have to wear shoes that aren't Yeezys. So I think that might be.
Do any comedians get invited? Did Chappelle get invited, you think? He wouldn't go, obviously.
They're not hot. They're not hot enough, bro. Comedians are ugly.
We saw Dan Levy's outfit.
Except for Chris D'Elia, the hottest comedian on earth. Because when you pull up in a G-Wagon and you got the skinny G-Stars on with the fucking Yeezys, mm-hmm. and you got jokes, bro, that's crazy.
That's crazy. And he would kill it. He would be a fashion killer at the Met Gala if he was allowed to leave the state of California. But right now he's got all types of things going on with the court system.
Yeah, he's a little, but I think he's back to podcasting, thank God, because they can't stop you from doing this no matter what. You can podcast from jail.
I know. I mean, I might stop at any moment during this podcast to do a number three that's vomiting in the master bath. In the master bath. So we're still cracking the whip. TJ stops for nothing. I suddenly have my snapback stomach right now. I'm feeling
I actually didn't want to tell you this on the mic because I feel like it could incriminate me, but I did poison your food. so that you would lose a little weight before the tour. So I'm sorry, but you're welcome.
Desperate inseams call for desperate measures, is what you say.
Exactly. Your inseams looked at me and they were sweating. They were hurting, and I was like, I need.
When
to
I went to the gym after coming back, I popped on the scale at Dunox, and I gained 5 pounds just off top.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yesterday, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? It was yesterday or 2 days ago when I was at the gym. I went to the gym every day this week since I got back.
Yeah, you stretched. Yeah, I know. Go ahead.
Come on, bro. I was dealing with all kinds of ailments. You know what? I was back on my bullshit. Turkish get-ups. Suck my dick.
Oh, okay. That's good to hear. Now.
The heart rate was up.
I will suck your dick if I see you perform a Turkish get-up. That's dead ass. No problem for me.
And you suck good, too. But... And then I went on the last time I was on the scale one or 2 days ago, boom, the 5 was down to 1 pound. I already dropped 4 lbs.
Damn, man, we're probably back. We're probably down below that now chunking.
Yesterday I didn't eat any food except for a salad for dinner. Threw that up, and I can't keep water down. So your boy could be
perfect.
You know. I could be lighter than when I left for Italy.
That's actually good. That's great.
So it looks like your job here is done. We should introduce our podcast guest today.
I want to talk to our guest today about bodies, since he's such a sports head.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I want to talk about how I can get in that LeBron shape. Alex Wong is a writer. He covers a lot of basketball stuff. He's written everywhere, GQ, New York Times, etc. But he's got a new book coming out called Cover Story. The NBA and modern basketball is told through its most iconic magazine covers, which is a pretty interesting way to do a book, I think. And it's especially... Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Slam?
I'm talking about Slam. I can't wait to go through... I mean, all the awful looks that were on the cover of a basketball magazines in the 90s and 2000s alone.
In the 99 and 2000. Some of them were good.
Do you think Birdman was ever on the cover of a basketball magazine? I feel like he might have been.
Birdman the rapper? Because that was also the nickname of a basketball player too, Chris, I think. Well, we'll get into that with our guests. So let's give him a nice little NBA-style zoom. Dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun.
Hey there, overwhelmed foodies. Are you drowning in a sea of meal kit options, feeling like you're in a bad dating game where every contestant looks the same? Fear not, because amidst the chaos, there's one shining star worth your culinary affection. Home Chef is not just another fish in the meal kit sea. They're the gourmet catch that you've been dreaming of. Say goodbye to swiping left on lackluster meals and swipe right for the one brand that will make your taste buds swoon.
Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef design recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, I like to chop myself, or quick microwave meals that are assembled in minutes, Home Chef has you and your entire family covered for delicious meals, 30 options per week, and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. I'm keto now. Not only is it convenient, but it is also economical. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Mamma mia.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners, our listeners, 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/howlong. That's homechef.com/howlong for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. homechef.com/howlong. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert. We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. I compromise every day, Jason, as you know, because that's kind of part of being a good friend and partner.
Oh, wow.
I am forced to keep food in my refrigerator against my will because my wife demands it. But when it comes to your health, Jason, there's absolutely no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. I know you have sketchy insurance, Jason. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and most importantly, prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance. So literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. All these doctors are real with verified reviews from actual patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists near you, or if you want to book one far away from you, that's your decision. Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That is ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
Alex, what's good, baby? How are you?
What's going on, guys? Really excited to be on this podcast. One of my favorite podcasts.
Okay, go on. What do you like about it?
Yeah, what's your favorite part besides me?
Well, you know, besides CB, you know, hating on everything. And, you know, me connecting with Chris, because, like, we're both divorced. And you know, let's have a love of Uniqlo. Okay. You know, Jason as well. Jason, I know we have a shared love for Asian girls and a dry sense of humor as well. So, no, I like just, like, compiling, like, maybe
Wong, my motherfucker,
five or six episodes at a time. And just when I drive to see my parents, just kind of blasting like 5-6 episodes in a row and just kind of catching up on your lives.
Okay.
Do your parents live in Muskoka, bro? 2 hours? That's a lot of podcasts, dog. Where are you going to?
I listen to them at like 2.5 speed or whatever, you know?
2.5 speed?
Oh, you're one of those guys. You're one of those.
No, not 2.5. I'm exaggerating. I lie a lot.
That's not good for the Asian stereotype, just to let you know.
I hope someone fact checked my book. No, but... No, 1.5 speed, but like, you know, three, four episodes, you know, I get stuck on the highway.
So you listen to How Long Gone on chipmunk mode?
Yeah. No, I drive, I don't even know if I want to admit to this, but I drive a 2001 Honda Civic that I got in high school. Cause like, I don't drive. I usually don't drive. Like I live downtown in Toronto, like, mm-hmm. But my mom recently bought a new car. And she was like, yo,
which Lexus did she get?
Don't, Chris, come on.
Yo, guys, come on, man. A lot's been going on this year. So I got the car. She's like, we're going to get rid of this car. I'm like, listen, I got a parking spot at my condo. Like, I'll take the car.
Yeah.
So I've just recently started to drive again. So I just there's a CD player in there, mm-hmm. like there's not even a Bluetooth function, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I just put on my AirPods and listen to you guys, and I actually grabbed some CDs recently from my parents, and I know CB, you love 90s hip hop. Like I was blasting that Sound Bombing 2 the other day in my car. It was so great.
Oh, Alex, my comrade. So you're saying your 20-year-old Honda, you don't think it has Bluetooth? It might though.
You're not sure. No, it definitely doesn't. Yeah. Okay. It definitely. My nephew was in my car the other day, and he's like, I don't know, he's like 8, and then like he was, because the windows are roll up, like they're roll up windows.
We didn't get the Honda Civic EX, is what it sounds like.
Yeah. so he like actually made fun of me to my sister, and I found out like 3 days later. He was like, yeah, he was laughing at you when he got home, and I was like, wow, I thought I was the coolest uncle. I guess not.
Uncle Alex drives a goddamn Home Depot bucket.
Listen, I told my mom if the car just dies, like I'm just gonna leave it on the highway.
Donate it to Canadian NPR. So I mean, because like a parking spot in Canada in like a metropolitan area, those are kind of hard to come by. They're a little pricey. I mean, I know in some places. So the parking spot is definitely worth more than the car, right?
Oh, for sure. I think my mom told me we couldn't even get $50 for the car if we were to drop it off. So I'm just kind of running out the street.
Honda Civics, those things fucking run, bro. That's like a Toyota truck. You can't kill them.
It's a tank.
No, it's got like 250,000 kilometers, miles, whatever it is.
And not even, and let's not forget about those brutal Canadian winters it's lived through. I hope it was garage.
Yeah, it was garage. My dad told me last week I gotta make sure I get winter tires on them. I'm trying to not to add any cost to this right now. Like, I'm just trying to drive this car free. You know what I mean?
I don't want to dump a ton into my $50 car.
You're like, I'm good.
Yeah. And also, it's like, hard to get the snow tires on when the Civic is lowered so lowly, you know?
That's a good point. We got a scraper on our hands.
I'm just trying to run out the string, man, honestly. No,
I fuck with that, bro. I fuck with that. Yeah. So are there any hookup stickers on the back? What's the sticker story?
No stickers. No stickers. Just a bunch of like cigarette burns from my friends, like on the front seat. From
you
like,
don't have a single cannibal years. Ox. You don't have a single cannibal ox sticker next to the license plate?
Maybe people under the stairs.
RIP. RIP. Burn one for the gods. Yeah. Okay. Did you paint the spoiler or did you just leave the carbon fiber kind of nude?
No. So I know there's like an Asian stereotype that like we love cars.
I don't know what you're talking about, Alex.
I've never heard of that.
I fucking hate cars. My friends used to go to car shows. And remember when like import models was a big thing? Like car import models, like they would show up, go to shows.
Bro,
and stuff.
Still, it's still every day, bro. I'm from Orange County.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't know life had passed me by. No, like,
you haven't seen Jason's Explore page lately, I guess. But
I got a lot of centerfolds pinned up in the garage. If you know what I mean. The old battle axe doesn't like it, but you know, it keeps me an honest man.
is Tila Tequila still in that scene? Is that her name?
Tila Tequila turned into like a flat earther QAnon person.
Like Kyrie Irving, I believe.
Like off the reservation, like full gnarly ass.
Yeah, she lost it. Yeah. But I think she also, though, I think she did get her start in the mm-hmm. hot import nights world.
That's how I discovered her talent.
Wasn't she in one of the first Fast and Furious movies? Or am
she
I
may have been. Correctly? That may have been one of your fan fictions. I don't know if that happened for real, but
that fan fiction involves. I know MC Jin was in one.
Yeah, that's right.
Ja Rule too, right? Do I have Ja Rule?
No, like Ja Rule. No, I think so.
Yeah.
They love to have a big guest cameo in the franchise. I've never seen a single one of those movies, though, if I'm being honest, and that's not because I'm a snob. It's because I don't care.
Doesn't that technically make you a snob?
One could make that argument.
No, I mean
there's a don't care and there's a adamantly. Oppose.
I understand the appeal completely, and I understand why they make a lot of money. RIP Paul Walker. But I just don't. It just doesn't. That's not. That doesn't get me going. That doesn't get my butt in the seats of the.
Chris, I got one word. I got one sentence for you from the mouth of Rihanna. Shut up and drive.
God damn it. What's your popcorn order at the local multiplex? Don't
trigger me like this, Chris. Don't trigger me like this. You know I had a bad.
Not you, big guy. Alex, do you put the ketchup powder on it? You can tell us the truth.
No powders, man. Just lots of butter. Lots of butter. That's it. Another funny story. Speaking of uncool to my nephew, so I took him to a movie premiere recently, and
premiere?
He bought this big bag of for the new Marvel movie, Shang-Chi. I know you're a big Marvel head.
I thought you went to like a TIFF premiere, but you're just talking about you just went to a little kid movie the day that it came out. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not on that level. Come on.
I don't know. We just met, Alex.
So we went, and obviously I got this big bag of popcorn. You know, again trying to be the cool uncle. But then when I gave him the hand sanitizer right before, I accidentally squirted some of it into the popcorn. So in the middle of the movie, he's like, yo, this part of the bag tastes kind of sweet. So then I grab it and taste it. I was like, damn, I guess we've been eating sanitizer for a little bit.
Uncle Alex.
Yeah. But you know, I know kids 5 to 12 don't have their vaccines yet, hopefully soon. So maybe that'll protect
That's
them.
A good point, actually. Yeah. You probably save this little guy's life. He might think you're a hater, but you were really just trying to save his life.
Yeah, you'll thank me later, boy. That's what you said. This honestly, like that like if I was a writer for Curb Your Enthusiasm, like that is like a bona fide, like approved scene for an episode, like a, you know, some type of COVID related episode of Curb. Squeezing the hand sani into there instead of the hot butter. Boom, boom, boom.
And then hopping into my Civic and driving him home while bumping like a High and Mighty featuring Mos Def. Yeah,
and you have to make your 8-year-old nephew kind of do a little push to start. Give it a little push just to get it going.
Was that movie good? Did you see it just to support the representation, or are you a fan of the Marvel franchise?
I like Marvel, but I consume Marvel in a way that I consume like Like, I'm sure you guys have seen all the hype about, like, Ted Lasso, right? Like, all these kind of mainstream properties. Trust me, I know you got thoughts. But, like, I watch it, but I don't have, like, an opinion of it. Mm-hmm. It's just a good way for me to kill 2 hours. It's a good way for me to kill half an hour. Mm-hmm. When I see all the discourse, I'm like, why are we talking about a show that probably doesn't deserve these conversations? So, to answer your question, like, I enjoy all the Marvel movies. Like, I don't kind of criticize them. Like, I understand that they're mostly, honestly, for kids. Obviously, it's $1 billion franchise. So, like, I enjoyed the movie for what it was. It's not one of those things where I'm like, wow, yes, I am happy. There obviously is an Asian-Canadian, actually. You know, lead.
You guys are getting greedy.
Yeah, it's not something where I'm like walking around. It's not something where I'm walking around like puffing my chest out. I think it's great. I just think we don't need
it's
to have
cool
that,
to see.
Yeah, we don't need to have that same conversation like all the time. It's probably more influential to like my 9-year-old nephew. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Well, that's who it's for. You're right. Yeah, to see that at that age.
For intelligent adults like us, the less we talk about it and the more we just do it, the more it will become normalized and not like a novelty thing. Like, oh, are you guys going to go see the Asian Marvel movie? It's just going
to
be like,
yeah. And I got friends who like want to talk to me about problems that they have with like the third act of the movie. And I'm like, yo, I'm not trying to break this down. You know? Like, it was cool. Like a bunch of dragons showed up in the third act. Like, what do you expect? It's Marvel. Like,
Don't send me your script notes, Chief. I'm all good. Like,
the dragon sequence was a little weak. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't need like the letterbox review or whatever of Marvel movies. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I like your philosophy so far, Alex.
People try to intellectualize those movies because they are for kids and they want them to be for adults. I think that's what it is. They're like, I paid to see this and I watched it, so I need to talk about it like it's a, you know, it's a award-winning cinematic masterpiece. And, you know, that's a waste of everybody's time, even Jason.
Yeah, Marvel dick stays dry. You know what I mean? No, nobody's sucking Marvel dick.
It's dead ass
only,
true.
Only on your birthday.
It's the cause daws of a cinematic universe.
It's really true. But,
I honestly go, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I go just to see those scenes that they always do post-credits because I get super hyped about those because they always do, like, a post-credit scene. Mm-hmm. That sets up like the next movie. And,
oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know this was a thing. Okay.
Yeah. I grew up reading comic books. Even like I grew up in Hong Kong, so I read a lot of like manga, watched a lot of anime. Mm-hmm. And that's what Marvel's doing.
You sound like a lot of my white friends, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Anime's become a huge thing.
Mm-hmm. I bet you got some folders on your computer that you keep locked, if you know what I'm saying.
This is daddy's manga. No, on, this man. Is daddy's special oh, manga.
Man. Man, I didn't know CB knew about hentai.
Yeah, we got to start calling him CP, by the way. Let's move on.
I know a lot about, I don't know a lot about it, but I know that it's a thing people are really interested in. But I feel like that stuff also is something I'm not aware of that is a giant industry that makes so much money. All of the Magna, all that stuff is like so big. I mean, I don't even know. Yeah. Where do you even go cop that? Are you buying online? Or you got to go to the store.
No, I mean, all that stuff is pretty, because like by now they've translated most of the big properties into English. So like you can buy that at any of the bookshops, right? Like if you shop at Jeff Bezos, Amazon.
The White Strike again. They fucking.
Yeah, whites too. But like anime and like manga, that kind of inspiration, like it's seeped into hip hop a lot too, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, absolutely. I don't understand. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm not exaggerating when I say that I've never owned a comic book. And like that, yeah. I don't know why.
We believe that, Chris.
I mean, I just don't, but it's, but I also never played video games. Like we never had a video game system growing up either. And it wasn't like my parents were anti. It's just like we didn't have it. There was never a discussion about it.
I never liked video games just because honestly, they were just too hard. like once you move past like mashing two buttons at like an arcade, like playing Street Fighter or whatever.
You're out.
Like when I remember my friends like play like Resident Evil and you know like Final Fantasy and you have to actually like pull up these like strategy guides.
I remember
kids in computer class were like printing off 200 pages of them and I was like, this isn't fun. Like I just want to play like NHL 94, you know, score five goals and then just
there we go. Now
Resident we're Evil his... dick doesn't get sucked either, does it, Alex?
Yeah, he's getting Alex is in his
NHL 94.
Now.
You do that little triple deke.
Yeah.
Don't use the exactly. Jason. Don't use the one hockey term you know with our Canadian guests. Don't do that. He
you
learned
don't know
that
how
from
many
Mighty
times
Ducks too.
I was doing fucking NHL 94 deeks on the Sega Genesis till my fucking eyes bleed 4 a.m. That shit on mute. I'm just swerving fools with my Messier.
I mean, you're obviously you're on record as like a basketball expert, but are you also a man of the hockey arts.
He's Canadian.
Are you a puck? Alex, are you a puck bunny?
I'm not. I'm not. I actually hate. Actually, I don't know if I should. Yeah, I'll say it. I actually hate the Leafs fan base.
Your days are numbered.
Maple Leafs fan
he's
base.
Coming. Damn, you better watch out. You better not go down to the Eaton Center, bro. You might get fucking shot up. You know what I mean? You got to be careful there.
Chris knows. No, I got a story, man. So like, again, ashamed to admit this because I know, Chris, you hate people who wear sports jerseys. But like, there was one time I wore a Wayne Gretzky LA Kings jersey out to a bar.
You can't.
The great one. Nothing wrong with the great one.
And people, and like, I'm not going to turn, you know, How Long Gone into a hockey podcast, but like very quickly, like Gretzky screwed the Leafs out of making the Stanley Cup finals back in 93. Like there's a lot of bad blood there. Mm-hmm. And I actually had two guys at this bar threaten to kill me. So like when you're making the Eaton Center joke, this guy was sitting at the other end of the bar, like 40, 50 years old. I love how I'm saying that. I'm 37, so I guess he's around my same age as I am now. But like he was like, yo, I'm gonna fucking kill that guy. Like he actually, if he caught me outside, probably would have killed me. Damn. And I've never worn that jersey again. Like I just, that's what I'm talking about when I say like it's a very toxic environment here when it comes to hockey fans. It's like, yo, I just like the black and silver color. Like that's why I wear most of the sports stuff, just for the colors. Now I'm not trying to wear hockey jerseys now my age, I guess, but like
whenever I wear my purple bandana on Crenshaw and 180th Street, I'm like, I'm not on Grape Street. I just love purple. I just love this.
Yeah,
no, exactly. No, that's Jason, not good this enough is, this is the exact comp. But it's like, you shouldn't live in a city that's so obsessed with hockey where you can't go out in just a random hockey jersey.
No, that's true. Pretty good.
But that's like the environment there. And they suck. They haven't won. They haven't won in like, I don't know how many years. So, like it's since like 1950s, 60s or something.
This ain't a game, bro. This ain't a fucking game. And you need to.
That's why you almost caught fade, bro.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
I wish you would wear that jersey again, bitch.
What kind of local bars are you frequenting in the downtown Toronto, in the GTA? Where what kind of spots are you hitting? Anything I need to know about?
I'm trying to see because I feel like I haven't been out in like 2 years.
You ain't been out, but you said you lived. You say you live downtown. You mean like downtown, like financial district shit, like downtown?
Have you been like quarantining or something?
I live by the baseball stadium.
Oh yeah, down, like right near the near the Billy, the little airport. My favorite,
the Billy Bishop. Yeah.
That's where I take the PJ. That's where I land. You know, if I'm coming for a quick thing, if I'm coming to go to see Drake, I'll fly there.
Yeah,
his quick thing is a optometrist appointment. Just to clarify. It's a quick ting.
Yeah.
Bars, random bars. I like this hole in the wall. It's by Queen and Svedina called Wide Open. It's literally just a hole in the wall.
That's a good name for it. Wide Open is a good name for a bar.
All right, guys, we're getting too regional, Toronto. Unless you're from Toronto,
we're not going to talk about Bar Isabel. You know?
We can talk about Bar Isabel.
I've been to Bar Isabel.
Oh yeah. Oh wow. Now Jason cares because we're talking about food, even though he threw up all night.
Don't worry, it was mid. Nice wine.
Toronto's got good food spots, though. I mean, I'm sure you get it.
That's true. I had some very nice pho.
I want to go to the Asian mall spot out in the suburbs.
Pacific Mall.
Yeah, I've never been to Pacific Mall. That's where I'm trying to go.
Okay, you got to go to Pacific Mall because the second floor is just a food court. And yeah, it's amazing. Chris
loves flavors of the Orient.
I do love the flavors of the Orient. That's good. I mean, I'm not a big, you know,
kryptonite.
When I go to my local Thai restaurant, I do have to ask for mild, you know, on the heat. And the waitress likes to laugh at me, Jason, at Hoi Ka. Mm-hmm. Because she's laughing because she can look at me and tell that I want it mild before I say anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should Google, hey Siri, how do you say no shit Sherlock in Taiwanese? Sorry, not Taiwanese, in Thai.
No, I'm not a big spicy guy too, man. Like I go to this place called Indian Roti House with some of my friends and they always make fun of me because I'll tell the lady at the counter specifically, like, please make mine mild. Like I just there's a certain level where like I just want to enjoy my meal, you know?
I don't want to sweat through this. I've seen TJ sweat too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like mid bite. I just don't get the, I don't understand the joy in that.
I used to be a real spice puss, but now in older age, I have become a heat seeker. We've talked about this before, but I am starting to crave the heats and the flavors as I've gotten older. I don't know what that means.
What's your preferred heat? Like what kind of heat though? Like hot wings or like red pepper flakes?
I like a rounded flavor of a habanero chile, Chris.
What are you putting?
I also really like Szechuan.
Yeah, I like Szechuan. I like to get nummy.
Yeah, we get a little gummer.
I like to go nummy on the
Szechuan spice. I'm okay with, you know, with a plate of noodles and rice.
Yeah, the green peppercorns that are more numbing than hot, and then they have the red ones that are more hot than numbing. If you could find a way to delicately balance them,
We call that Christmas style. We call that Christmas style in the Southwest.
Christmas style.
We call it Christmas style in the Southwest. So you're saying, Alex, you're saying, when did you move to Canada from Hong Kong?
So I was 6 years old.
Okay. Okay.
I moved. Yeah. So I've been there for a bit. I got my name Alex from a Sega Genesis game called Alex Kidd in Miracle World. I still remember we were in our Hong Kong apartment. And my dad was like, we're moving to Canada. I was like, okay. And then he's like, I'm filling out this form for elementary school. You need to pick an English name. So I just picked the main character of the game that I was playing.
And you're like, thanks for letting me know now, Dad. Jeez.
You got to pick your own name, though. That's pretty cool. I when I change my name legally, you know, I'm going to be 40. It's not quite the same. But yeah, I'm thinking about changing Jason's name legally to Them Jeans without him knowing. Do you think there's a way I could do that, Jason? Is there a way I could go down to the courthouse maybe?
It would have to be some type of Weekend at Bernie's scenario where you get me in a K-hole and you and another kind of a big enforcer style bruiser guy who can hold up a brawny fella like me. Mm-hmm. And then I'll put some big old sunglasses on, maybe those Vetements with the spikes on it.
Yeah.
And you just grab my hand and I do all the signatures for all the paperwork, and then I'll be Them Jeans.
I feel like Jason goes by TJ anyways. Like, I feel like everybody calls him TJ.
Yeah, I should. If my name was just changed to TJ Stewart, then I would be like a mid-level NASCAR driver.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Or like a contestant on Big Brother who gets knocked out like second.
TJ Stewart. Yeah. TJ Stewart is a, yeah, he's a middle manager from Iowa City, but you know, he's looking for love on The Bachelor season
20. It has the same flow and rhyme scheme as BJ Novak. TJ Stewart, four syllables.
That's true. And BJ Novak is we know he's a known stick man. It's not a bad, you know, path to follow.
Whereas I'm a known stick person.
Oh, I apologize. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to BJ and to his baby mama, Mindy Kaling.
Chris, do better.
Alex, we should talk about this book because that's, you know, I know you're excited about it. And Jason and I have zero basketball knowledge.
I wouldn't say zero, but we're not killing it.
We're not killing it. We're not big hoopers, you know. And I've got some friends that are, and I like the size of the players. You know, that's pretty cool. you know, that they're big guys that are in good shape. You know, that's kind of my thing.
If you ask me, I think he's kind of after the size of their bank accounts too.
No, I would never. I'm not an NBA
wife. Known trophy wife, Chris Black.
I'm not an NBA wife, but I do think that the. I mean, I would maybe do a, I would, you know, I would let a sixth man knock me up maybe if the contract was guaranteed. You know what I mean?
That's actually a good question, Alex. If you were to, you know, lay down, share your life with an NBA player, you know, in a arrangement of love forever, who would that person be?
Man, that's a,
and it's not just based on looks.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Let's look at it holistically from a. Like, how do you live your life?
Get your head
together
out of the fucking gutter.
Yeah, bro.
I think
we're not just talking about meat size, Alex. clean up your fucking act.
I think it's got to be someone in like a big city, like a New York or LA.
Smart.
So then you can kind of just piggyback off that lifestyle.
You like to find a metropolitan baller.
Yeah, it'd be one of those things. You know, you get the prenup right, and then you know,
he's thought about this.
You know, catch him cheating and just take half.
He's
the
really
money.
Thought about this.
Yeah. So you're saying you're doing a ring ceremony with Tristan Thompson is what you're saying.
Exactly, fellow Canadian. Yeah, shout out Brampton,
Alex.
Yeah.
I didn't take you for a trapper, but I like your style.
I like it a lot. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Listen, man, it's the immigrant mentality, man. It's always money first. Yeah.
I like that. I have the immigrant mentality. Even
that's the thing with these ballers. You got to trap them.
You do have to. Yeah, you have to trap them. I don't know.
Yeah. Chris is an honorary immigrant for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for
so
that.
So Alex already has the app on his phone. He knows when he's ovulating, and he knows exactly when it's time to beat. And that's how you get them.
Man, I should have requested a show rundown before this. Damn,
yeah. Alex.
There is
once
no
again,
show rundown.
Alex is once again spotted in the lobby of the Four Seasons in Atlanta, waiting on Tristan to come back from the game. I hate to see it. You know, because I just recently had a nice run-in with Russell Westbrook, who I thought was too much of a star. But, you know, he's a really a down-to-earth guy and has a great body. He looked good in a skirt. So maybe I would go with Westbrook, you know. It would be tough because he dresses, like, pretty bad most of the time, and he has that brand that isn't good. But maybe I could change him.
That's really weird because most basketball players dress really well.
Yeah, yeah. Alex, why do basketball players dress like this, bro? We need 10,000 words on our desk tomorrow.
Yo, honestly, shout outs to League Fits. You know, I know the guys there, so I'm not going to slander them. But yes, no, the NBA players, I mean, they just all wear the same like three designer brands, right?
Yeah.
What is it? Like, you guys would know better. Like Rude, they wear a lot of Rude. Rude.
Jason, right? Jason likes Rude too because Jason has to dress like a basketball player because of his size. So it's Amiri.
That's right, Amiri.
I wear Rude at the airport just to let these motherfuckers know what time it is. You know what I'm saying?
Actually, I was reading. I saw this tweet the other day. It's not basketball. It was a football player, Cordell Patterson. I don't know if he still plays. Mm-hmm. But he said while he was playing, he would go buy clothes at Forever 21 and just save money. And he said that it didn't matter because whenever you walked into the stadium, people just thought it was designer anyway.
Damn. Shit.
Which I thought was like super smart.
That is.
That sounds like
smart.
My girlfriend's mom. Trying to justify going to TJ Maxx every day.
That's some scammer shit right there. Yeah, I mean, that is...
It looks like designer.
That is pretty smart, though. I mean, these guys just... I guess, though, I will say that the League Fits thing is a really interesting... It's like created an entire industry, which I think is super cool and interesting. Like, I think that whole thing didn't exist. And I think now... If a basketball player wears...
So what is League Fits for our listeners who don't know? Is that like Vogue runway for NBA?
So it's an official account that was created by Slam Magazine, which is the most popular basketball magazine in the world. And they just basically post the tunnel photos of players as they come into the
area. Law from the channel, mom.
Yeah, and it's become a thing that's blown up. I think if you look at the numbers, I think they're past like maybe... They're almost like, I feel like at 1 million followers.
Yeah, it's very... But it's brilliant because it's just like... It costs nothing to do. You just, you get the photos from Wire Image or whatever. You post them.
Yep.
People debate it endlessly in the comments. Like it never.
Players love it.
Yeah,
players love it.
Yeah, players love it. Because these, yeah, I mean, this
gives you a chance to show off. Yeah, I like it. Makes sense.
But it didn't exist. I mean, it's, and I don't think it exists in any other sport, correct? Like they don't do that for football, right?
No. And
maybe a little bit.
I feel like if they tried, it just hasn't caught on. One of the things I do like about League Fits, and like aside from the fact that obviously we agree that a lot of the fits are not good, is I feel like it gives exposure to a lot of guys who like people might not know.
I see.
Like a guy averaging like 7 points a game, like you guys who don't watch sports, like would never hear about them.
Right.
But it might be something that maybe a larger audience could kind of discover.
But he's dripping in some chrome hearts and suddenly we're adding him to
I guess the most extreme example is PJ Tucker. Like, have you guys heard of PJ Tucker?
Yeah, I know PJ Tucker. And the problem with PJ Tucker that I have is that his name sounds like a football player. It does not sound like a basketball player. PJ Tucker does not sound like a basketball.
Sounds like a female DJ a little bit.
That's Kitty Say Words backup DJ. He wears
God damn it.
He really loves to get his fits off.
He started as like the sneaker guy and now he's at Fashion Week.
What?
Like he's gone into the fashion. My thing with PJ is like, and I've asked him about this a few times, as he was blowing up, like he keeps insisting publicly that, you know, he doesn't collect sneakers and he doesn't do this like for the fame. And for the love, which is like clearly not true. At least I disagree with.
Sure.
Like I just feel like if you're gonna put yourself out there and obviously give yourself a bigger platform, because otherwise you guys, the two of you, would never know.
No, definitely not.
True.
Without what he's doing, right?
So PJ's
numbers.
So PJ's
I feel like
numbers,
he should kind of embrace that.
PJ's numbers ain't looking too good.
No, but like he's always been just like a defensive player. Like he doesn't put up stats like that, right? Like he's like a glue guy on a team.
Ooh,
he just won a championship. So.
I like glue guy. That's what, you know, Jason's more of a glue guy and I'm more of a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you agree, Jason?
Yeah, that makes sense. But just with my past in huffing, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but when you throw in the huffing, it's over the top.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the NBA, the dressing, it's also, and when we talk about sports, I mention this because I think it's pretty cool too, or maybe not cool, but that, you know, with the NBA, you see these guys' faces all the time, and that's what makes them so famous. Whereas a football player, they got a helmet on. Baseball players are fat and ugly, so basketball players is all we got. It's all we got are these like beautiful specimens. You can see their faces. You know their tattoos. The whole thing. It's like it makes them so much more famous than any other sport as far as like facial recognition.
We get to see a nude exposed shoulder, and that gets me wetter than a Slurpee.
You know, I mean, when you can see a clavicle on a 3-point shooter, I mean that's reason to pay for that league pass, if you know what I'm saying, Jason.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. And the other thing is like the NBA, I always tell people, like, you don't even need to watch the games. Like if you just follow it on Twitter and see like the things that the players are like saying to each other,
yeah,
or like saying to their coaches and like all the stuff that goes viral, like it's a soap opera half totally. The time. Like half the time, half of the guys want to be traded. You know, half the superstars are trying to get their own players traded. You know, LeBron's been doing that his whole career. Like, I love LeBron, but like, you know, he's gotten half his team traded everywhere he's
gone. That's because LeBron's the boss.
I love the drama.
LeBron's the front office and the star. That's the beauty of that.
Yeah.
It's messy.
And then LeBron, like, trying to rap lyrics on his IG story. Like, all of this stuff is just so entertaining.
Who's going to be invited to Taco Tuesday? You know, it has a exactly. You can't sit with us at Taco Tuesday energy.
But some of that stuff is great.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's all great. I mean, Jason keeps trying to trade me to throwing fits, and the front office is refusing. So thank God for the front office. No, thank you, Jason. But I do think LeBron. I mean, LeBron is the LeBron rapping thing. Is do you think that LeBron could put out an album like 90s style, like the Meta World Peace kind of vibe, or do you think he's more of just a fan because these guys are his friends?
Yeah, I think LeBron's too rich and successful to put out a project that would kind of hit like the 90s hip hop crowd.
It wouldn't work if LeBron got in the studio with, you know, Metro Boomin and put out like a mix.
I feel like LeBron would go the route of DJ Khaled and just have like 55
great
features on the album.
Great call.
And get all the producers, obviously get the Drake verse. Probably call in all the favors. Rihanna too. I know Rihanna's a huge fan of LeBron. So LeBron could put together like a turbo style, like DJ Khaled album on steroids. I
like that. I think LeBron himself is on steroids. Is on steroids too. So that kind of makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would like to see LeBron doing a little bit of like a Paris Hilton "Stars Are Blind" thing. Just release one. Don't do a whole album and everything. Just do one perfect song and then bow out. Forever living in infamy.
Yeah, but look, I don't know, man. Look, these guys, do you think they're all friends in a soap opera way?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because they like, play college together and shit. They play high school together. And it's like they talk shit, but at the end of the day, they just want to drink Casamigos and fucking smoke cigars.
Yeah, a lot of them are friends. I think they're the ones that aren't friends, you know, just because you don't see them pop up on each other's IG feeds. And they're always kind of subtweeting each other in like post-game interviews. One of them... It's James Harden. James Harden and Chris Paul, like they famously were on the Houston Rockets together. And Chris Paul has this leadership style that's really grating on people after a while because he just kind of gets in people's faces. And James Harden, I mean, I'm sure you guys know a little bit about James Harden.
Well, I know that James, you know, he doesn't look like an athlete. When he shaves his beard, he literally like it's people would run away from him. Scared.
Sadly, this is I'm the James Harden of this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't look like an athlete. If I shave my beard, I lose all my swag sauce. And then you're the CP3 character, shorter and kind of a bullying management style, grading.
What like kind of tell us more about CP. What's his style? What do you mean? He's just on top of people like just won't let up kind of vibe?
He's a micromanager. I think Jason put it really well. He was in LA for a bit with the Clippers with Blake Griffin, and the same thing happened. You know, I think Chris just has such a like dominant personality that's just like, you know, if he's on the team, it's his team. And then meanwhile you got younger guys like a Blake Griffin and James Harden who are like, nah, like I'm actually the one that's scoring 30 points a game.
I'm the star.
And, like, this basically is my team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So James Harden got Chris Paul out of there. He got Chris Paul traded. And they hate each other. Like they shove each other. They do all these little things every time they play each other that you can tell they actually hate each other.
Oh, I like that. See, that's
you just want to see them kiss.
We need, exactly. Yeah. We need more hatred in sports. That's what I'm looking for. I want these guys to come to blows. You know, like when I was watching, because a friend of ours that was on the show, Ryan Duffy, he produced that The Malice of the Palace thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
That was great. Yeah.
And I was just like, man, we need more of this. I think fans should get punched. Fuck these losers. Like, I don't know why. Like, I think it should be, I think all athletes should take steroids and you should be able to punch fans, and it would make it a lot more entertaining.
Well, I've always said baseball was the most entertaining when all the guys were on steroids.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Like when Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, all those guys were on steroids, like it was so fun to watch.
Talking about the Bash Brothers?
Are you talking about the Bash Bros?
Yeah, shouts to the Bash
I watched
Brothers.
The Bash Bros, mm-hmm. 30 for 30 on a plane, actually, because that was my era. Like when I think I was young enough where I actually still played baseball. And those guys, yeah, they when you look at them now, they look insane. Like Mark McGwire looks like he's going to rent you a speedboat at Lake Havasu. Like he looks so crazy. Like they all
actually,
just...
Mark McGwire, fun fact, the Starbucks by my house growing up in Huntington Beach, there is an autographed Mark McGwire jersey in that location because that's his local Starbucks.
Wow, I don't know if you're allowed to do that as a franchise owner. That seems a little off brand for Starbucks.
And then one time Jose Canseco made fun of me at a diner and I couldn't do anything about it.
What do you mean?
Too big.
No, but shouts to Barry Bonds. Like Barry Bonds was my favorite athlete.
Barry Bonds
growing
is cooler.
Like, this guy was hitting 70 home runs a game, just telling the media to fuck off and like generally being an asshole. And while like his head was just growing because he was taking steroids, and he was just amazing. Like I know again, I'm not trying to get too deep into the sports, but this guy had an on base percentage of like over 500.
Oh, my man's
got on base
Jason,
more
my
than
man,
half
my
the
man's
time.
Got fucking numbers, bro. He said I don't just like Barry Bonds because he had a big old head. I liked him because of his game. You know, and that's something that we could learn from a little bit because we're a little
head
too...
game was good, but in that head. Contain some game.
Alex, as a member of the sports media, you know, what do you think about all these athletes, specifically tennis, our preferred sport, refusing to talk to the media? We're not going to do a press conference. Do you think they're being crybabies, or do you think that this is like the new wave?
Well, the thing for me is like, I get where they're coming from, but like, you know, when I put my whatever media hat on, you know, I do believe like it does hurt the access. But I also think a lot of sports media people on the other side are crybabies as well.
Yeah.
Because like they don't want to hear that Naomi Osaka is actually dealing with all of this shit.
Right. Makes their job be harder.
Yeah. And I think.
What was she dealing with? Because it's weird because she was dealing with something, but then I saw her at the Met Gala. So that's kind of crazy. I don't know. That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy.
Listen, I'll leave that one to you, Chris. But you know, I think the thing is like a lot of sports media people, the problem is, and maybe a lot of the more prominent ones, and especially white sports media members love to center these conversations back on themselves, which I think is the problem.
Are you? It sounds like you're talking about podcasters, but continue.
It sounds like podcasters.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I love you guys, man. Didn't I say
no,
this?
Not
at
us.
The top?
Not us. But yeah. Just podcasters in general, where it's like I have a very important question to ask you, and then as soon as I ask you that question, I'm going to then tell a story about how it affected my life. And then by the time I'm done with that story, you'll forget what I even asked you in the beginning.
No. But that's podcasting because I feel like this is a specific problem with sports media.
Okay.
Like across the different sports is that because they have to fill up so much airtime and have to talk about these things every day. Like some of these topics, I think it goes back to when we were talking about like, I don't know, like Ted Lasso or Marvel movies. Those should be a 5-minute conversation. But instead, when Naomi Osaka does something or when Kyrie Irving decides to take 2 weeks off from his team in the middle of the season, it has to be like 12 hours of coverage every
Around
day.
Around the clock,
from Monday
ESPN
to Friday.
So like, coverage.
They set up the war room.
What are you going to talk about at some point? Right?
Yeah.
What do you think it could be?
I mean, I think that the problem is that when people are paid like sums of money that most people can't comprehend, they just can't wrap their head around having any problems, which I'm guilty of that to an extent too. I'm like, bro, you got $100 million, like figure it out. Unfortunately, that is not the reality. You know what I mean? But I also think with athletes specifically, they're so young. It's like kind of crazy. Like when you think about how young some of these people are when this starts, and this is the only, I mean, you know, the reality is too, for most of them, this is the only thing they know how to do. They can't pay a bill. They can't go to the grocery store. All they can do is fucking play basketball, play tennis, play football, whatever it is. So, I mean, you know, you
they can't even wipe their own ass.
They definitely can't. That's what you're someone like you is for, Jason. But the they are
on the wiper.
They are. But they're so uniquely. It's just such a weird thing to do for a living. You know what I mean? You're literally playing a meaningless game for an absolute fortune, and people love you for it. And when you think about it, when you kind of zoom out and think about it that way, it's pretty twisted.
Damn, Chris been taking the edibles. I like it.
No, I love getting the sports takes out of Chris, man. This is great. I think the other thing people ignore too when it comes to talk about athletes and media is, you know, media originally, like when you talk about like the 70s or the 80s, like to be on a magazine cover, to get a feature story, like all of that stuff, that was great promo.
That was the only way. That was the only way.
Yeah, that was the only way. Like when I did this book, like I talked to people, you know, from the 70s who were like photographers at Sports Illustrated, who were like, yeah, like the first time people discovered someone like Larry Bird was when he popped up in the mailbox on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Now you hear about these basketball players from the time legit, like when they're like age 8. Mm-hmm. And they're coming through the system. But then when you're talking about the biggest stars in the world, like the Naomi Osakas or even the LeBrons, like they're doing all of us media members a favor if they toss us an interview. But the problem is they're going to toss that interview to whoever they know at ESPN or some kind of exclusive, you know, with the New York Times. And
they want the softball. They want the softball.
Yeah. But it's like, I feel like athletes are starting to lose, kind of maybe not realize that, like, if you do let someone do a real story on you where people actually get to see your world in a way that's not protected, there is still a benefit there. Like not everything has to go on Players Tribune and like ghost written by somebody, you know, because like after you read five of those articles, and listen, I'm not trying to denigrate, like a lot of these athletes come from hard places and have had a, you know, tough yeah. kind of upbringings. Yeah. I think those stories are important to share. But on another hand, if you let like a talented magazine writer just kind of follow your life yeah. for like a week and tell a story that people have never seen, right? Because like I don't remember the last time I read a story about LeBron that I knew wasn't kind of just in a controlled environment. Yeah. And like famously, there was an ESPN writer, I think this would have been like over a decade ago, who actually got access and followed him inside like a club in Vegas during the early part of his career, and like wrote all these things, and it wasn't even scathing. It was just like LeBron, you know, bottle service, mm-hmm. just having a good time at the club, talking shit.
Hell yeah.
And mm-hmm. they made ESPN completely like delete the piece, like it disappeared.
Too much money in the line. I mean,
we like to see that. I think it's all just like the Marvel movies. It's all about the kids. I think that's what it boils down to. Because we used to see, like, in, you know, in the yeah. 60s, NFL players are smoking cigarettes on the line in between, you know, like. There was some bad boy shit going on, and that's the way we liked it. It was real athletes being real athletes, and now it's just
I like the fact that we try to pretend that these guys aren't at the club when they're doing ads for like Mountain Dew, which is arguably worse. Like they're able to shill anything, but they can't like drink with their friends. We all know they're doing it. I mean, I just don't think that I don't know how long that's going to hold up. But yeah, I mean, that's the new reality for sure.
Yeah, that part is disappointing. And to be honest, like the pandemic's throwing a wrench too, because like a lot of us, because like I cover the NBA here in Toronto. And
did you hit the bubble, bro?
No, I didn't go to the bubble. They invited like 8 people to the bubble. Yeah, I should have used my Asian card. No, they had some Asians there.
Maybe next year, Wong.
Yeah, but the pandemic too, like we don't get access, like we don't get to go to locker rooms. And a lot of these teams now I don't want to say they're using the pandemic as an excuse.
They are.
But like, it's a very easy excuse for them to be like, you know, we can't give you access to mm-hmm. these people. And for a lot of us, like that's the lifeblood of like how we get assignments and how we do jobs, like actually going to the locker room and like finding stories and doing this.
Hold on. So you're telling me you're in there, you see these guys changing clothes and stuff?
Oh yeah. After games. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just stand there. It's the most awkward thing. It's the most awkward thing. It's just like 50 reporters and like 8 players just standing.
So these guys get off the court, they're toweling off, and you guys are just standing there waiting for them to talk.
Yeah, waiting for them to say the same 3 things that they always say after a win or a loss.
Yeah, we played great defense tonight, you know what I mean? I think that
the better team won. The better team won today. You know, we got a lot to work on.
No, that's really it. But like as a freelancer, I'm always in there trying to find like those cool like one-on-one stories or if I'm working on like a story angle and all of that stuff. But yes, there's a lot of just standing and waiting while the players get dressed.
Yeah, there's too much money at stake. Everyone's afraid to say anything, but we our guys played hard. We'll get them next time. They got us on the D in the third quarter, you know, like they can't be like fuck that shit. I got fouled with some bullshit on, you know, at the ninth minute bubble. Like, they can't say anything cool or interesting.
No, you're right, Jason. Because, like, the minute they say any of that stuff, the NBA comes down and fines
them. Yeah, and even after you retire and you leave the NBA, they're like, oh, if you want to be a NBA sportscaster, you want to get Charles Barkley's job, you gotta stay in line as well. You can't be saying anything too controversial.
No, go ahead. No one will do an interview. Beyonce, I mean, you know, these people don't do interviews. They do these like super controlled, you know, but at some point in your career, you were doing like the embedded journalist, like I'm going to spend 3 or 4 days with someone and really get the story. And you're saying that's just no longer accessible.
And like, listen, man, there's a lot of writers, you know, that are a lot greater than me in this space, but like,
debatable.
I'm not asking them to pick me, but it's like, you know, they should stop just handpicking the same people. Yeah. That you know are going to do the same story, right? And I think LeBron's probably a bad example just because he's like at the very top. Like he's got his own like Hollywood stuff going on. Like he's not even an athlete at this point, right? Like I mean, his slogan's literally more than an athlete. But like just with regular players now, I feel like a lot of the agents and the publicists and then their own people that they work with, number one, either they make their own content. You know, a lot of people just have cameras following them. Yeah. Around doing documentaries, but again, you're doing like a one-sided documentary because it's just your own people. These are
the
doing it, right?
The documentary shit is getting out of control, whether it's music or it's athletes. Yeah. It's like I don't need to see that. If you get Final Cut, I don't want to see it. If like,
yeah, exactly,
that's Serena doc, we've talked about this before, that Serena doc was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. It was unwatchable. It's just, that's what they all are. They're all just these kind of glowing portrayals, and it's like they show these like faux struggles, but it's not compelling.
Yeah, and like one example I can give. So like Serge Ibaka, so he's on the LA Clippers now.
Oh, you worked on the cooking show, right?
Yeah, so I was asked to be a producer on the show, and mostly my job was scripting stuff for him and coming up with questions when like Kawhi Leonard would come in or like when Jeremy Lin would come in. And like one of the things that we had to talk to him about, because like he's such a serious guy on the court, like he's choked guys out on the court before and stuff, like he'll fight people.
Oh, yeah.
He's intense on the court, but off the court, he had this personality that he didn't really bring out until that show, yeah. Right? And we had to convince him. I remember when I ran some jokes by him or told him he should do this, he's like, yo, people are going to say I look stupid. And I was like, listen, there's a fine line. Like, we're not trying to make you look stupid. Like, this is how you are, like in the kitchen and how you are around the players. Let people see that side. And like, I'm not going to take credit for like bringing that out, but it's like, it was a struggle at first to kind of convince them to come out. And I think that's a really good example of like just something organic happening. It was a, he just wanted
it
to
really
do a
worked. The
show
is fucking great. It's funny. Like, yeah. It's funny. I don't like cooking and I don't like basketball. And I watch that show.
Yeah. You would never know Serge Ibaka, the name, cause you don't watch sports.
Oh, I know Serge Ibaka because him and I were wearing skirts in Paris together and we compared them. I know him personally. I don't know his work that well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What was his?
Chris has his old phone number saved, not the new one.
Yeah, he didn't have it. Yeah, if you have it, it went green. I don't know if you got a new phone or if you maybe got a Samsung deal
probably
or something.
What that is?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. What was he? Was he actually a good cook though, or was he just having fun with it?
No, he's having fun with it. That's all I'll say. Yeah.
I've seen his little videos. Serge ain't really with it, but great. Great.
No, I know he cooks day to day, but on the show he definitely has a team.
Yeah, but it's funny. It was really
he's making
funny.
This little funky ass lobster mac and cheese shit, eating rattlesnake sausages.
I mean, he served a beef penis pizza to Kawhi Leonard. Like he started doing like just like outrageous kind
of
shock.
Yeah, I saw some rattlesnake shit.
Damn, that sounds like Canadian chef Maddie Matheson. Maybe he took a bite from his burger. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's nice, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. I tried the beef penis pizza. It was good, by the way.
Yo, pause. Damn, you're a freak, bro. Shit, that's a big pause.
Yo, yo, I'll eat anything, man.
Oh, do you have an iron stomach?
I think so. Just no spicy foods.
Yeah, I was about to say, you were saying earlier, basically, I'm bitch made. I can't eat spicy shit. And now you're saying I'll eat anything?
Listen, man, I contain multitudes. I'm definitely bitch made.
I think he's talking about like Subway and stuff like that, not like bull testicles.
I'm definitely bitch made, but I'll also just eat anything as long as it's not too
yeah,
spicy.
I'm the same way. Is it free? Let's eat. You know what I'm saying?
It's good to try new things, man.
It's good to try
new things. Are there foods that, well, I know, Chris, you like just don't eat, but like Jason, are there foods that like you just will be like, no, like I just won't try this
stuff, like eating brains. Like I've had it before and it was fine, but it's not like
you don't need it again.
I'm never craving it.
Oh, really? You're not craving?
I think stuff like
that. I've heard you crave brain before, dog. Chris, don't lie.
Come on, Chris.
I'm sorry. Jeez Louise. I'm sorry. I got to keep it PG. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would say that stuff. And then a lot of like the kind of like cartilage-y stuff.
Yeah, see, I love the cartilage stuff.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of people, I try to learn how to love it. And in certain applications, I like it. But some of it where it's just so cartilage forward.
I think it's the texture.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of people just texture. Tell me it's the texture.
Like the sea cucumber type of shit. It's a little like... My white little mouth can only take so much. You smell me?
What kind of chef are you?
Well, you can only take so much of a pounding.
No, I'm just like you, man. I'm not a big. I don't cook, man. Like I'll go out to eat.
Yeah, smart. Yeah, we go to restaurants. Hell yeah, restaurant hive. Stand up.
Yeah, one day I'll be there.
Jason, maybe if you cooked for yourself last night, you wouldn't be in this little position you're in right now. Ever think about that?
Yeah, I fucked up, bro. I fucked up big time. My chick.
What happened, Jason? You got a tummy ache? What's going on?
I got FP. Food poisoning.
Oh, damn.
Gastroenteritis.
Do not try to make FP a thing, you fucking loser.
No, make FP a thing. I like FP.
I caught some bad field greens or something. I don't know. I ate a bad some type. It was eating salad, which is a notorious FP causer. And I woke up 3 a.m. belly on swole, and I've been going number 3 all morning. I peeled myself off the couch 5 minutes before this podcast. I'm like,
I thought he wasn't gonna make it to this podcast. And I was like, bro, I can't talk to this guy about basketball for an hour. Like, I need you, dog.
we could have done it. We could have.
No, of course we could have done it. Of course we could have done it.
You could have, but would you want a podcast without me, Alex? Be honest.
No. You need the full How Long Gone experience. No, the restaurant thing is funny because like
with ham, no burger without TJ involved.
My dad hates going out to eat. So my dad used to like own a restaurant, and like he's a great cook. Every time we go out to a Chinese restaurant, he'll complain about all the food.
Sounds like Jason.
And he'll go as far as asking. His go-to move is asking if the chef is on vacation. Oh, like he'll ask. Like that's like he just does that.
That's a good one.
And I'm like, what? I'm like, they haven't even brought out all the food yet. Like, can you just like at least wait till
they
the
just
end? Like,
poured our waters? Yeah, down.
So can't bring that guy anywhere.
But does that get shit done though? That's the question though. Like, obviously,
no,
it makes you embarrassed. It makes your family embarrassed. But does that actually like get the food out better?
No, he just wants to do it so he can say he did it. No, I'm not even embarrassed. I respect it. It's actually kind of wild that he would just do.
But what kind of restaurants do they want to go to? Chinese restaurants? Does he want to go to like Shake Shack?
Yeah. So he likes going to Chinese restaurants. Well, aside from complaining about it, but if you bring him to like American places. You know, like American food, Canadian food. He thinks they're all too expensive.
Mr. Wong's not wrong.
Yeah, he's not.
But also, but if he's a Chinese food chef, then he's like, "Why? I'm only going to go to a Chinese restaurant just so I could judge it and be like, oh, my shit's better." But
yeah, he literally just wants to go to shit on it, and he gets like some pleasure out of it.
So yeah, whenever I go out to a restaurant, I always try to go to a place where it's like you guys are making food that I can't make at home for whatever reason, the skill or the equipment or something like that. You know what I mean? But if it's just like, I'm going to go get a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich or like some scrambled eggs, like, no, I'll just eat that shit at home. But if I'm going, it's like, you know, you got the crazy wok burner in the back and you guys are flipping and dipping some squids and shit like that, then I'm not going to do that at home. So I'm more than happy to spend my money. But I do like to judge like Mr. Wong.
My dad's, he's a wild boy, man. Like I remember, so I went to Atlanta a few years ago and I stopped by this vintage store and my dad's a huge golfer. He's retired. He's actually a licensed golf instructor.
Love this.
So he loves all the golf stuff. So then I found this like vintage Masters tournament t-shirt for him that I thought he would just absolutely love. And I was like, wow, what a great find. I bring it to him. And you know, we go out for dim sum. When I come back, I hand it to him. I'm like, yo, I got this just for you. Like I thought you'd enjoy it. He looks at it twice and he says, there's a stain here. It's used. And then he throws it back at me.
That's
and like, and I respect that.
I like this guy. This guy sounds cool.
I guess I do too.
I think he raised you right. That's the feeling I'm getting from you. You seem like a well-adjusted cat.
Yeah, I'm bitch made, but well-adjusted. You know, that's
kind of the nature. Oh, yeah,
you're Canadian. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, that was in your bro. You listen to Majid Jordan, bro. It's not your fault.
Come Come on, man.
All right, Alex, what's the book called? Let's tell our listeners about the book so they can go cop.
Yeah, so Cover Story is the name of the book. Just Google Cover Story, Alex Wong. It's out on October 19th. It's a series of behind-the-scenes stories about some of the most famous basketball-related magazine covers from 1984 to 2003. So I interviewed a bunch of just writers, editors, photographers, people who are involved with some of the most famous magazine covers to tell a backstory and hopefully weave together a story for people who are into sports or not into sports that they can really enjoy. And, you know, go and support, go and pre-order, man, so I can get a new Civic.
Damn, they got this shit at Target?
Yeah, I'm tired of this 2001 Honda Civic. I need an upgrade. So just if that's what you need, the push, you know.
We call this the Gone Effect. You'll be number one in sports books on Amazon tomorrow.
I love it.
Yeah, and you can follow him on Instagram at Steven LeBron.
Can I explain why that is?
Sure.
I could take a wild guess what the reference is, but please go ahead.
No. So I used to be an accountant, and I used to work like 9 to 5. And that's when I joined Twitter about like a decade ago. And like, I used to just tweet about my work and just like, you know, make fun of my boss and stuff like that. So like, I needed a name that wasn't traced back to me. And the day that I signed up for all the social accounts, there was a newspaper headline that said Cleveland's LeBron suspended 50 games for steroids, like a clickbait. And it turned out to be a Cleveland baseball minor league pitcher named Steven LeBron.
Damn.
So I just picked that.
That's good.
And then it stuck. Sometimes I get tagged in LeBron James stuff. Like when LeBron James has a bad game, I guess like if people type in LeBron on Twitter.
Yeah, you'll pop up.
Like it pops up first. Yeah, stuff like that. I've also had an actual Steven LeBron reach out to me.
Oh, I like
being
that.
Like, why is this your name?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Bitch, cut the check. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I was kind of scared I was going to get sued, but that never happened, so it's all good.
No, he's Steven LeBron.
Think
you can
get sued for having a Twitter name. Don't
Steven
worry.
Steven LeBron is not litigious. We're friends. All right, Alex, thank you for joining us, guys. Go cop the book and follow Alex on Instagram and Twitter for all your basketball news. And I'll see you. At Sam James Coffee, you know, next time I'm in town, we'll hit Trinity Bellwoods, bro.
Oh shit! All right, let's do it. Oh, by the way, one last thing, Jason, can you put something from Sound Bombing 2 as the outro music? When I listen to this tomorrow in my 01 Honda Civic, I want it to fucking hit at the end.
All right, done and done. It won't be the first time Sound Bombing 2 appears on this episode or on this podcast, but I'll make sure that it's not the Eminem verse. There's so many. How do you pick just one song from Sound Bombing 2?
Thank you for that, Jason. Thank you for that. That's helping everyone, actually. Thank you for that.
I'll rip it straight from my vinyl. I have doubles. It's not a big deal.
God damn it. All right, it's time to go. Thanks, Alex. Have a good one, bro. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Do you know who you are fucking with? Do you know the access to weapons, money, and power that we have? We will fucking kill you. I'm the ugliest version of passed down toxic capitalist rabid MC perversion. I'm America. Your bleeding heart liberal dribble gets squashed. Watching with stubble eyes, blind patriot guided weaponry bombs for the makers of devious hearts. I'm America. You bitchy little dogs don't even phase my basic policy to bomb smarter. My Ronald Reagan's crush Carter with band pick tactics making young men into martyrs. Come to my happy promised land, smiley face opportunity cipher and jump on a cold flow pension plan. A proletarian crushing state of the union between serpentine words and mass confusion of media control blurb advertising disillusionment. Your family will love my low rent, low life, no brain reality dagger. Movement. Hop over the border for amusement. Try to test the waters that the other slaughter crews bailed in. You up again. Jesus freak, forming corporations and young Republicans. Indelible NATO force hidden agenda pumping government. I'm loving it. Keep the people guessing who I'm running with. Control the population and hide behind sacred covenant.
Fucking with me.
Please, local wildlife burning gasoline seeds. Standing on a magnetic third world planet with metal plates in the knees. Can't you hear the disenchanted hollow scream of...